Right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. This will be released on Saturday, the 4th of February, 2023. We're into February already. Thanks for all the emails sent in. Remember, if you're having problems logging in, some people have a few issues. Most of them are very easy to sort out. In fact, 99.9% are very easy to sort out. So it's info@sheetfarm.co.uk. Our lovely mustached assistant will sort it all out for you.
Wear a pencil skirt when I'm doing it.
Yeah. with his vest on and the clutch. Curly clock spring sticking out at vest. Lovely, lovely sight it is. It's what you want as your secretary. The format of the shows is easy. We'll try and release a minimum of about 4 shows a month. Shows will be released every Saturday. The format is members get the full show plus downloads when logged in. So you've got to be logged in to see the full show. And non-members, or if you're not logged in, will only see part one of the show. So remember, if you're a member, you've got to be logged in. Podcasts will always be on sheetfarm.co.uk. I didn't release this last one on Podomatic because we'd run out of bandwidth and I want to upgrade on Podomatic. So the bandwidth starts again on the 4th of February. So we did without Podomatic for the last one with Mark Bajerski. So yeah, people not getting any email notifications. We do get a couple of people saying, I haven't got it. Maybe it's gone into spam or for whatever reason, it's gone into the Google fairyland. And it doesn't matter because every show is released on a Saturday. There's no specific time, but certainly after lunchtime, they'll be live. And that's it, really. Our Chris's camera's still playing up, and it looks like he's breakdancing every 5 minutes, which is quite good to see. There he goes again.
Fucking hell. What, stop with it.
Just turn it off, Chris.
Yeah. It looks weird, doesn't it?
It does look strange. It looks like you're headbutting your screen. I'd like to thank all us guests and everybody who listens, subscribes, and thanks for the support from everybody, really. And yeah, and remember, Rise Above has got Equinox on their festival the 6th to the 12th of April. It's Easter Bank Holiday. Tickets are available at riseabove.tv. It's riseabove.tv. I told you the other day, Chris, that I met up with Jonathan Halstead, fellow Huddersfield lad, and we went in for a cup of tea, or I had a decaffeinated coffee, which very exciting. You were talking about some interesting stuff. He's got a new centre he's opening, and because he's moved from his old place, so hopefully we might be penciling in the next few months. We're not going to dates or like that. Maybe a Sheep Farm Live. Now, right. I don't know about this yet, but I'm busy as it is, so I'm not going to commit to a date just yet. But it's something I've wanted to do for a while, as you know. I don't really want to travel the length and breadth of the country. And this one's in our doorstep of Huddersfield, so that it might be a good one to help Jonathan open his new centre as well. I'll give you some more.
You expect me to travel all the way up there, but you won't travel anywhere, right?
Yeah, but you won't be doing talking, will you?
No.
Yeah, you won't be putting presentation together, will you?
No.
So when you turn the tables and you do that part, I'll have to come down to Cambridge.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Fairness. Traveling's not that much of a problem as long as I can get home. I don't like really staying away. I couldn't do what Mark does, Mark Devlin, and jet up and down the country and stuff like that. He loves it, doesn't he?
That's his world, isn't it?
It's his world. It is his world, yeah. But I think it's probably part of Lyme disease thing. I'm not really that. I like my own comforts around. So it'll be useless when they come knocking on his door and dragging us all out. We've got to do a runner. But anyway, until that day, I'll probably change tack then. Mark's just done a new show. I'm about 20, quarter of the way through it, with Johnny Vedmore.
Yeah, I just started listening to it tonight.
Yeah, very good. Johnny's something.
He's a machine, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Yeah, it is.
Proper machine.
Yeah, it's fantastic. His research. We're going to have to get him back on because last time we did a show with him, we had a problem with the audio, didn't we?
Yeah. It took you hours to edit it, didn't it?
Yeah, when we're in it, all inexperienced. Well, what we do now is just stop it, wouldn't we? That's what I do now. After a minute of hearing that, I'd have stopped it now. But that's where we were then. Also, if you're not listening to FPV Angel, I just tuned in before we got going here tonight, and he were talking about some, or they had some a lady on talking about some interesting stuff. So FPV Angel channel on YouTube. We've got Jerry Mazinski live a week on Thursday, 9th of February, 2023. And stream starts at 9 o'clock. Show starts about 9:30. I think Chris might be a bit behind, but we'll start on anywhere at 9:30. If you want to email some questions for Jerry, because I know it were quite popular, some of his shows, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
Because the chat goes very quick and we miss the questions. I mean, I'm sure we'll pick some up, but it will be a good Q&A session for Jerry as well.
Yeah, if you email him to InfoChief, I'm just labeling Jerry, and then I can ask, and then I'll see him and I can ask him directly.
Yeah. So another bit of an update. We're just starting to record the Huxley's Brave New World Order, which is part one, and we're doing Echoes of the Huxley's, which I think we've seen the fabric of the Matrix tapestry, aren't we, Chris? Through this, the connections, it's a bit wild, actually, some of the connections, and I'm not even looking for the connections, and they're just popping up, aren't they?
Well, we made a bizarre one today, didn't we?
Yes, a very bizarre one. The zeros and ones, that's what we're seeing at the moment, through the veil of our reality. And yeah, it's interesting, very interesting, very interesting. There's been
that bit that we found today that you were telling me some of your research you've been doing. And then, of all things, due to a bit of comic book knowledge from being a comic book geek, it just went ka-ching, didn't it? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to tell what it is.
No. Well, it is interesting when you see these links and they do materialize in front of your eyes. And when they materialize over and over again, obviously, if one pops up, then you could say it's a coincidence. But when they're all popping up from different angles, coming at the sort of proponents, the Huxleys, they're like the thread that runs through it all. Or it seems that way anyway. They're certainly linked to a lot of these bloodlines and things that have happened and the prophesized things that's happened. And I mean, part of things it's just amazing, amazing, really. Mm. And when I mean amazing, I don't mean in a positive sense, just amazing to see the whole thing. It's like you're viewing it from above, and there's things, you know, it's like looking at an anthill.
Do you know what you should do for it? Get a cork board and some red thread. My missus has always said to me, if I ever come home and I see red thread on the walls, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about
Bottle of Shiraz, by the way.
Bottle of Shiraz. Can't see because he's turned his video.
Oh, he has turned the camera off, and I was waving in front of the camera.
Yeah. Needs an update, I think. Yeah. I want to talk about limited hangouts just for a sec. I think there's been some kind of attack on the release of Truth recently. There's a lot of truth coming out, or things coming out, and it's like the plimsoll line's been reset of our knowledge. So as we research things, not just us, but everybody who's in this, they have to alter their reality, because our research has overtaken the knowledge that they've released, or the truth or the lies, whatever it's we've seen through, that they've released. So now they now have to come back up to that level, and they're now saying that these things, these jabs cause X, Y, Z. And so I think Mark did a good expose on that Rebel News as controlled opposition. The odd thing is that all these limited hangouts or controlled oppositions or whatever they are, GB News, Russell Brand, even Nurse Gladys, who we spoke about, even the Andrew Bridgen affair, all these things, even though them individuals might not be part of it, they might be waking up themselves, but they're being utilized in our world. We don't trust them, which is an oddity, really, because they're actually saying what we're saying. So Rebel News, for argument's sake, they apparently, if you believe the narrative, gate crashed the World Economic Forum and questioned several people who never said a word. So they apparently gate crashed it, which you struggle to believe that they're the only ones there gate crashing it. And the people that they were interviewing never actually answered anything. So they never told us anything. So it wasn't even an interview, really. They never did anything, did they?
Some chasing down the street.
Just walking down the street, yeah. Nobody did anything to them. They never answered a question that they asked them. And so they got nowhere. GB News is a similar outlet where they're only telling us what we already know. Most of us knew this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when it first started. We knew what they were going to do. And they're only telling us what we already know.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, Russell Brand's the same. That John Campbell, Nurse Gladys, as I've been calling him, he's the same. I'm not saying he's not waking up. I do, personally, I think he is waking up. I think he is. I think he's had an epiphany.
No, but like you say, he's only giving the stats on things we all already know.
We already know. He's not saying to us that, I don't know, XYZ developed this and they're doing that and what have you with it. I mean, in fairness to Andrew Bridger, that MP, Andrew Bridger, he's only telling us what we already know. I'm not saying he's fake or anything. I don't know if he is or not.
That's not about him telling us what we already know.
No, it isn't.
That's different.
That's totally different, yeah. There was also another video. I don't know if you saw it. I only saw it recently. I don't really keep up with news. People email me stuff, but you get that many emails, you can't read them all. But the Project Veritas, a video apparently went viral. It had a guy on it called, they interviewed a guy called Jordan Tristan Walker. He's apparently a director of research and development director of Pfizer Worldwide. Yeah. So he admitted on camera while they were talking to him that Pfizer had developed variant mutations or whatever, so they could come up with these variants, for argument's sake. So it were like a forever giving sales gimmick, yeah? Where they were just injecting people with different variants and then saying that we're a new variant.
Well, I mean, none of that's, is that a massive surprise?
Well, the thing is, right, within...
It's interesting it's been, well, gone viral. That's the interesting part.
Well, it's gone viral, but not viral. It's only like because... this guy is researching development. The first thing that the sort of truth arena said that it's a setup job. And I've got to say, when you watch the video, it doesn't look fantastic, right? It doesn't look set. But the things they're coming back with is he can't be a director. He's basically a janitor or something like that. But in reality, he's a research and development. And Ed from Outer Light's done a fantastic piece on him today, where he's gone sort of like into his background a bit.
Is that the mixed race fella?
Yes.
It looks mixed race, yeah.
Yeah.
And he loses it in that place when
he's
confronted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that.
Now, whether what he's saying is true, right, and I don't want to get into all this virus nonsense again, because whatever they tell us a virus is, it probably isn't. But that doesn't mean to say that what they're saying a virus is isn't poisoning people and making them ill. Now, I don't really go with this lab leak crap. Like it's some accident and this green smoke's steamed out of a window and then landed on a bat and this bat's bitten a guy and et cetera, et cetera. I don't buy all that nonsense. I could believe that they put it in the water or they sprayed it everywhere or they've done something. And now my mind always goes back to Giordano, Professor Giordano, because what actually happened is actually what he says.
Make a few people ill and turn the rest into hypochondriacs.
Exactly.
Paranoid
hypochondriacs. But he specifically says, make someone ill. Mortal or not, right? So he's exactly, he was talking about mortal agents, you know? So he's talking about poisoning people. That's not viruses. You can make it look like a virus can spread by poisoning 10 people in an area. A small area that looks like they spread it to each other.
But also, you only have to make a few people poisoned or whatever, and then focus all the media attention on them, and you've done it.
Yes. You've done it.
That's it.
And if you focus media attention on them and then another group and another group group, what he said, right, whether he's part of it or not, I haven't a clue, but what he said summed it up. And Ed actually said that, you know, if you've got a company like Pfizer that works with the military, then it's not a corporation, is it? Not as we think it is. No. You know, these are military businesses. They run.
It's all military fight. Well, discovered Facebook.
Yeah.
Blooming DARPA with those robot dogs, Boston Dynamics. It's all military. There's no one else who can finance something like that.
No, because military have got a bottomless pit. They've got a bottomless pit.
Especially the American military.
Yeah.
And then they've got all the black funding from fake space launches.
Yeah.
You know, that cost X amount of millions that when they're just all doing is letting a giant firework off.
What is it, 66 million a day?
I forget.
That's just NASA. They can waste 66 million a day just on shite.
Yeah.
On NASA.
On nothing.
On nothing. On absolutely nothing. So, what Professor and all that stuff, like we've worked out, even going to Oracle, where the guy that owns Oracle, I forget his name now, he was funded by the CIA. His first customer was the CIA. Now he's worth 100 billion. The guy that set up the laptop guy, he worked for him, and he set up the laptops, not HP, the other guy. Mark Benioff, Salesforce, sorry. Mark Benioff worked for Oracle, and his first client was the CIA. And the early investor was the guy that set up Oracle, who were funded by the CIA. And the CIA has got its own investment company that invests in all these tech businesses. So it's not just, well, tech now is pharmaceuticals, isn't it?
I'm going to say it's not hard to realise that what's been used against us over the last 3 years is a military operation, isn't it? Of some kind, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. And in fact, what happened is like a military operation.
Yeah, all in lockstep, every country, all at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, we are at war, whether we call it a psychological
it's a new kind
war.
Of war. It's a pharmaceutical war, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just, instead of guns and bullets, it's needles and pills.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is, yeah.
That's what they're spending all the money on. That's what they're laundering all the money through.
And also that propaganda. So, Rebel News... I mean, I don't know if you caught what Mark put up, but the guy, one of the reporters who was there all through the Australian lockdowns, getting arrested and what have you, Abiy Yemeni, or whatever he's called. I think he's called that. I might have got him wrong. Sorry if I've got it wrong. He was, you know, against the lockdowns. He was, you know, or it seemed, whether he is or not, I don't know, but it seemed that way. They wouldn't let him into New Zealand because they said he had it was a trouble causer right, and all this that. Type of stuff.
But it was all photographed and on social media and
all of it, yeah. And he happens to be a Zionist and says, shoot all Palestinians in the head and through the heart.
Oh, nice.
And he were in apparently Israeli military.
So he's explained exactly who he is there.
And the guy that funds Rebel News is a pro Zionist. Just now you know why Rebel News were allowed to go, not just this time, but last year as well, to the World Economic Forum.
Just need that. Just weird. I mean, you can't really put into your head and think what the reasoning behind that could be to want to do that. I mean, is it to make everyone angry, like old Schwab and all that said?
I don't know. But, I mean, even if they are making people angry, right, I don't understand the catch. You know, the bait. I don't understand the trick, you know, because we know all this anyway. Like I said, they're not telling us anything. Rebel News and GB News are not telling us anything that we don't already
know. I said this to you, maybe it's just the final, they're making it obvious now, we're making it findable. Maybe it's to make that divide more solidified.
Maybe.
Rather than be grey areas of it. The ones who have jumped the fence... I've clearly jumped the fence and they're not moving anywhere.
Yeah,
and then just get the stragglers to take a side, I suppose.
Yeah. But the thing is with people like us, you, me, Mark Devlin, Johnny Vedmore, people listening, we're researchers in our own right. The whole reason we're doing this is because we've been lied to. So once we realise that the jabs are poisoning people, we move on to research something else.
Mm.
So we're already, I'm not saying we're trying to be 10 steps ahead, it's not a competition here, but we're already 10 steps ahead because now we're moving into new territory.
Well, like, it's true, like you, what they're saying now, it's 2 years old, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Greta Thunberg, what did they say to Greta Thunberg that we, did you, I think they said to her, did you come in a private jet? And she just went, I mean, that were more comedy than anything else. They didn't even get, if they sat down and spoke to her and got a life story off her, maybe different.
Well, it's like that footage of her with those policemen laughing and joking before she got arrested.
Yeah.
That must have been leaked on purpose. That can't
just can't be like that. Well, you think of it, Chris, right?
If you're doing an operation like 2 years ago, any of it
if you were sat having a coffee with your grandma, yeah, that had dragged you, pepper sprayed you, yeah, and thrown it in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
They're pushing coppers over in mud, and she just gets carried away.
Yeah. It's a mistake, isn't it?
After the photograph ceremony. But yeah.
Mistake. Should I mention this thing that were in Daily Mail?
Which one? Because I've got quite a few that I wrote down for you. Like always, you just don't read notes that I've prepared. And it's probably one of those, and you jump into...
Well, no, I sent you quite late on that role.
Yeah, I've got them further down the list if you have. If you just bothered yourself to get organised.
I just got my child to bed and I ran straight to my computer.
Yeah. That professional nature of our podcast that I enjoy.
Yeah.
I noticed Dame Esther Ranson. As real, she's got lung cancer, which is spread.
I think she's related to that. Ardern got similar horse teeth.
Yeah, she's got similar teeth, definitely similar horse jaw. But I mean, she's had all the jabs, all of them.
She was doing some proper nasty.
Oh yeah, she was calling out. She was saying basically she'd be locked up if you didn't have it.
Yeah. No, I saw one of them
videos.
We shan't forget the other day. I was going to say, I forgot to send it to you. I don't know if I sent it to you already. And I was showing it to my missus. It was actually on YouTube. And I was showing it to my missus. And she was gobsmacked of how acidic they were.
Yeah. They're not nice then to watch.
All these famous people that you've watched, you know, have all been brought up with, being really fucking mean about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been that mean about anyone.
Edwina Curry were nice.
Yeah.
She was lovely, Edwina.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to that witch.
Yes.
No, there's no one he had any respect for, except for Lenny. No. I've got respect for Lenny and for being the only comedian who's never said out funny.
Yeah, he's had a fantastic career doing that, hasn't he?
He has, a career of nothing and doing nothing. But
now and eating decondensed milk sandwiches.
He's been nicer than all that, hasn't he?
Yeah. One interesting... story was this one, and Fairbourne residents fight the UK's first climate refugee label. So this is where we're going to be going. This is a place in Wales, it's meant to be a remote town. So the local authorities decided the 450 homes are vulnerable to climate change. So this town is close to the sea, and so the residents have said it hasn't flooded here since 1920, so over 100 years since it last flooded, and they're saying by I think it's 2054 it will be the first community to be decommissioned, meaning it would be depopulated and demolished because of rising sea levels.
By 2054?
Yeah.
In 30 years?
Yeah. What I found interesting was... bombs.
Rain bombs.
Rain bombs or whatever you would call them.
So sea's going to boil and just...
Yeah, go over boiling to sea. Wall. Boiling sea. Now... What this makes me realise is that when they say this is in the press, right? Probably local press here, like it's on ITV actually, saying it's going to be depopulated now and demolished. So if you own an house there, you're going to have to move out. They're even saying that the people that own the houses there would have to demolish their own and pay for their own to be demolished.
Is it just more bullshit scaremongering though, Fat?
Yeah, whether this is real or not, sort of irrelevant. It's climate change and you're moving because we say it is.
Yeah.
And by moving that village in 2054, there will be climate change refugees. Just like if you fell off your ladder and died, you had COVID.
Yeah.
It's the same principle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's exactly the same plan, exactly the same principle behind it.
What will it be like, a forbidden zone, like from Planet of the Apes, where
one's allowed there? Oh, no, but also...
What if it didn't flood?
Yeah, well, it won't flood, will it? It's not going to flood, is it?
Well, maybe they can make it flood.
Yeah.
There's a wall there. There's a stone wall there.
But there's a lot of places they said were going to flood. Maldives weren't going to be here. I think all, Netherlands were going to be underwater.
India flooded, but India's flooded every year.
India's flooded every year. But now it's not just flooding, it's climate flooding.
There's certain places in England, like Ebden Bridge, is it?
That always floods, Ebden Bridge, yeah, yeah. But then, funnily enough, Chris, they sorted the river out, they dredged the river, which right. needed dredging. It doesn't flood anymore. But it floods further down road now. So they had to dredge that. So a lot of these things, because the water board, the private water boards, aren't dredging the rivers and the silt's building it up, that's why a lot of them are flooding. It's got nothing to do with global climate warming change.
Well, a lot of them have got man-made components to them, so we need to maintain them, don't we? That's the point. Yeah. Water will take over otherwise.
Yeah. But, I mean, whether this is true or not, but when you look at that 2054, you think, well, this is the plan, 2050. I mean, this is Agenda 2030 or 2030 plus, whatever you want to call it. This is what they're talking about. You're going to be decommissioned and depopulated and demolished. I've lived here for 30 years. Tough shit, you're moving out. What happens if you don't want to move out? Yeah. What happens if I'm staying here?
Yeah.
They never put that in there. That's not in that article.
Maybe they don't even told that them residents. Maybe that's the first time they've heard about it on that picture.
Yeah. And then, one of the other links to this is UK sees annual temperatures average more than 10 degrees for the first time in... So what that sounds like to me when you read that, right? And this was like a thumbnail to that thing. So it's linked to that. It shows a picture of the sun, and these people here look like they're melting. And Met Office, average temperatures in the UK topping 10 degrees. So that sounds like the average temperature was 10 degrees more.
Hmm.
That's what it sounds like.
It didn't tell you what it normally is.
Well, it sort of does, but it doesn't. I mean, I'd love something like that, Professor Norman Fenton, to work out how they work this model out, how they've done this, because all they're giving you is hit piece figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says the previous record was 9.89.
But what's strange is one of the highest records was dating back to 1884.
It's just a load of fluff, isn't it?
1884? What, it were warm in 1884?
Right. Where did I mean, from?
What I'd like to know is, so your measurements, what equipment were you using in 1884? Where were they? And what equipment are you using now? And where were they? Because if you're using them in 1884 in centre of Huddersfield, and then in centre of Huddersfield now, I'd hazard a guess it's warmer in Huddersfield now than it was in 1884. Because all it'll have had is a few horses and some horse shit in on roads.
Got a massive wooden ye old temperature gauge.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking nonsense. Burning fossil fuels, and that word just can just wind you up, can't it?
Yeah. Just starts to grate, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit like that interview that Sturgeon did this week, which were quite funny, where that were ITV again. I mean, let's face it, ITV aren't the pinnacle of questioning, either. And this guy weren't... He's just, for some reason, they've been allowed. Why have they been allowed, like with Zahawi, which we'll come on to in a sec? Like Sturgeon, the questioner about that tranny, right? So you've got a tranny who's attacked or raped a woman. He's been sent down...
Two.
Pardon?
I think two. He's did two rapes, yeah.
Right, okay. So he's got sent down. He was going to be sent to a woman's prison, right? But then they've had to send him to a male prison, and now he's identifying as a baby.
Right. Right, well, we send him to a baby prison.
Kindergarten.
So, put him in a cot.
Yeah. So she were being questioned. And questioner asked him, so is a transvestite, is a male transvestite a woman? Yes. So why has he had to go to a male prison then and not a woman's prison? Well, because he's got... So he's a man then? No. She just got angrier and angrier because she couldn't answer it because it was just ridiculous. That is the level that these lying bastards will go to sink their fellow man. They will go, even though 90%, I think it is, or 80% of the Scottish populace don't want these laws. Scottish Parliament is still trying to vote.
Little Nazi will bring it through.
Yeah. I don't think she's on her own, though. The Scottish Parliament are looking at...
It's insane, though, isn't it? You can't tell me that all them old blooming MPs are really up for this. You can't tell
None of them dare say anything, though.
No, but why? Though? What have they got on them?
I don't know.
Like but you said, that bridge in Parliament, why was there no one there? What have they got on these people?
I know.
They can't even attend it.
Well, when he started talking, that bridging, I noticed, even though there were hardly anybody there, they all got up. The ones that were there got up and left.
Bizarre, isn't it?
As soon as he got up, they knew what he was going to talk about. They've left him right at last. And they got up and left. And do you know the strange thing? I will probably come to this. I know people that think Keir Starmer's going to get in and sort everything out.
Yeah, so do I. Frog marching everyone down the street.
I'm not saying he's any worse or better than any other ones because I don't believe he is. He's just going to be the one that picks the ball up, carries it to line.
He's been brought in for something else.
These freaks that are in now, I mean, I don't really want to go on about Zahawi's tax evasion because if we mentioned this, what was it, 2 years ago, 18 months ago, in that Zahawi thing, Balshaw Investments, we pulled this up 2 years ago that he was evading tax. And, you know, what gets me is that Slumdog, right, which we did another one on him and showed his tax evading, but anyway, Slumdog was Chancellor at the time Zahawi's apparent tax evasion was going through. So when he were speaking with the Inland Revenue, Boris made him Chancellor when Slumdog stepped down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet Slumdog says he knew nothing about that. So two things. Let's say he didn't know anything, then he shouldn't be in government at all. Shouldn't even be an MP. Because if he didn't know one of his own people, he's the head of the country. And if he didn't know that they're being investigated, yeah, that's just bollocks, isn't it? Nonsense.
Has he done tax evasion fight, or is it just a more circus? Or do they all do tax evasion and they're using it at this moment in time as a distraction?
Because I wouldn't say they all are, because I don't know. But certainly Zahawi that we've looked into, it were quite blatantly obvious he was, and it were quite blatantly obvious Slumdog. I think they're all doing some tap dancing around it, which is probably why they don't want to talk, a lot of them, and why they get them all to go along with whatever they want them to get along with.
Yeah.
Because they've got something on them.
Because, like I said, I'm just saying what I just said before, but the fact that they don't even turn up as a discussion, just to discuss it, is as soon as something's silenced, it's suspicious, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, as soon as you can't talk about something or have an open debate. Well,
I remember in that research, I'm sure, that Zahawi got done, right, as an MP for claiming back for eating his equestrian centre or his stables on his MP's expenses.
Yeah, that's right. That rings a bell.
I mean, as soon as an MP does something like that, they should not be allowed to be an MP again.
Shouldn't have a job anymore.
No, you should. No. You're gone.
Like Johnson being a journalist and lying.
You should have no
respect in any of those worlds.
But yeah, they seem to have more.
He ends up with more and ends up prime minister.
Because it's strange because at the gutter level, if you do something wrong, you get sent down.
Yeah.
At middle level, you get sent down. But at some point, you get to rise further and further up if you do something wrong, because you could become part of this club where, you know, a bit like, you know, Masons, where the higher up the nailing goats and stuff like that, or whatever.
Whoever are these MPs have you ever known go down, except for that guy who ended up with a book deal and selling more books?
Archer.
Archer.
Yeah. Archer went down. I don't think they had any
But he had no choice because he lied. Blatantly.
Perjury.
Lied, perjury.
Yeah. But I mean, who trains a Howard?
But he's still got a soft
Who trains a Howard?
Yeah.
Archer. He was part of Archer's incubator.
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah. And he still he went down and he came out with a soft deal because he wrote a book while he were in there.
I know. And not only that, he were doing stuff.
Prison diaries.
Yeah. But I mean, Zahawi, obviously, I mean, he was one of Baron Archer's trainees. His grandfather was the governor of the Bank of Iraq during British occupation. He was chairman of Le Cercle. I mean,
well, his dad sold Iraq down the panel. He might as well sell us down the panel as well.
Yeah. His granddad. Yeah.
Granddad.
And there's so much. I mean, you want to listen, if you haven't listened to that, you ought to go back. It's on it's still on YouTube, is that? A lot of the stuff we did in the early days, we had to take off. They're on the website. If you scroll down under podcasts, they're all there. I mean, even Slumdog, I heard Davini McCall calling out Slumdog because he was an early investor in Moderna, which, I mean, we spoke about 2 years ago. Mm. Mm. Via Thelemy Partners.
Davina McCall, we're calling him out.
Davina McCall. This is what I'm saying.
On what platform was she?
It was in mainstream press. Somebody sent me an article of it.
So she's involved.
And this is what I mean, though. Yeah. There's something strange happening. Going back to that limited hangout thing, there's something strange happening, right, when there are people like that calling out these people now. And... But I think as well, the limited hangout is, we can call them out for certain things, but we're never going to question whether this jab's killing people or it's or anything to do with the 30% increase. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all smoke screens, aren't they?
Well, it was Davina McCall that were pushing that HRT thing that I spotted.
Right.
She had a tannoy outside somewhere with it. So they're obviously used to some form of vocal piece to get these things across.
But I mean, early on, the jab after first jab were causing female menstrual problems. Yeah. It's going to cause hormone problems. It's going to speed up what we call the change. It's going to speed it up.
Hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And also people can't get to see a doctor. They can't get the right treatments anymore. Even if the treatments are poisoning them, at least it made them live a little bit longer.
But isn't it clever that they're using the old lined up ambulance, people getting seen in corridors? That's the thing as well, isn't it? I mean, that can be easily manufactured.
But they were using that in the 80s. Mm. They used that in the 70s when Thatcher got voted in.
Every year they use it. They use it every year, don't they? No, yeah. But they're cutting all the beds down anyway.
Yeah. Education. So you got education, you got NHS, you got policing and crime. You know, all these things, military, we're not investing in anything.
I always notice. I noticed this over years ago. Every Christmas, they always start talking about train prices. Just after Christmas, just to stress everyone out just before they go back to work. They're going to go up by so many percent. They interview a lot of people. They all talk about it every year.
Yeah, it's weird. There's no money, but we can give hundreds of millions of pounds to Ukraine.
We can, I know. I mean, I don't want any of my money to be spent on bombs.
Yeah, well, firstly, in our money. Well, they'll just take it off us. And secondly, they'll just do it anyway. Yeah. And
well, they're spending money on fire, pharmaceuticals and bombs for Ukraine.
And rusty I don't tanks. Want any of them.
No. Rusty tanks. They should go to Duxford down here where all tanks are and just send them over. Yeah. They'd have more chance with them than them knackered rusty ones that you keep seeing in pictures.
That's because did you see that? I meant to download it, actually. There were a video of... I took a picture of it on YouTube, so pull it up here, on YouTube that I saw, and it were about a weapon they used on some Russians in Ukraine. And it's here, dramatic moment, Russian soldiers were wiped out by death ray.
Bloody hell. Good old death ray.
So what it's showing is apparently these soldiers were... So Ukraine now have got death rays. That's in Sun. I mean, fuck's sake.
James Bond baddies have got death rays.
They've got death rays now.
Are they portable? Like, they've got one each, or is it just a big one?
Who sent it? And President Reagan. And also, eggs cause blood clots.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
Do you not know that fact?
Well, I do if you shove an old one down in your vein. But I mean, you know, the amount of stupidity that's going on at minute. Do you think anybody really believes that? Would anybody read that and believe that?
I don't know. I don't know what people believe anymore, because I don't talk to people about this stuff.
No.
I've got no idea.
I struggle sometimes with stuff, not because I can't believe that my neighbours would actually believe something as stupid as that.
It does make you feel like asking them, doesn't it? I do throw things in at work, but I don't really see anyone I'd want to ask something like that.
Do you believe eggs cause blood clots, you tit?
Yeah. Yeah, just like clearing your driver's snow causes an heart attack.
So right, we'll come on to those things that you wanted to discuss.
Well, I sent you this, then I did realize Ed had done a video about this. I didn't realize until after I sent it to you. But the point was, the reason I looked at it was because it was in the Mail Online. Oh, no, you're looking at a different one there. Sorry, I'll get to that in a sec. Yeah, I noticed this countries with the longest life expectancy reveal an interactive map. Now, I looked at this map, and immediately what I saw, without actually doing it, is if you were to lay a jibby-jab take-up on it, it would literally be the same, i.e. The countries that have got the lowest life expectancy had the least take-up of the jibby-jabs.
Right.
Then you've got Canada, America, England, most of Europe are all, they've got the longest life expectancy going into 70s and 80s.
Imagine how much work's gone into this to map this out, though.
Yeah. But looking at that fact, would you say that the ones in dark blue are, I would hazard a guess, the ones that were the biggest take up of the jibby jabs?
Yeah.
Canada, Australia.
I'd say certainly the most draconian.
And had the most measures. Draconian thing. Yeah. Well, the more draconian measures led to more jibby jabs getting put out, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were the highest rates, weren't they?
Hmm. And it was just, I looked at that map, that's exactly what I saw. And so you could, as I had a guess, that they want to get rid of the people in the places who've got the best life expectancy.
Yeah. I know there's been a lot of talk about Japan, and we've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
And their replacement rate is 1.3 or something like that.
Is it 2.1? It's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, whatever they do now, even if they developed a load of clones. I'm sure if they could catch up, but you're talking a bit, they catch up in 100 years, you know?
Yeah, it'd be a very sparse country for a very long time.
Basically. Yes. Yeah. Very sparse. And we're going the same way.
Yeah. What was replacement rate in England? I can't remember.
It dropped below 2.1 before all this shite started.
Imagine, yeah.
But I think it's been hovering around that for a long time. But even at replacement rate, you are only replacing. I mean, how many people of our age do you know with one kid? You know?
Mm.
So even if they've got two, then the actual population ain't growing.
No, you need some to have three and four and five.
Yeah, a lot to have three and four and five. And so that's why they need immigration. And I've had this argument since I could have a conversation with my dad and other people that immigration isn't a Labour thing or a Tory thing. My dad used to blame Labour for being too soft. Then I heard other people blaming Tories in the 90s for being too soft. And I'm saying, hang on a minute. So you're saying the British Empire is too soft?
It doesn't make sense. They let it happen for a reason, didn't they?
Yeah.
They set up the systems that they needed to in these countries, then did a fake leave.
Yes.
They didn't go anywhere.
No. And also, I remember having a conversation with his dad, and he's too soft in this country, letting all these people in, blah, blah, blah. I said, what, like my mum? No, I didn't say that.
Married to a black woman. It's
I know. anyway, he said, too soft. And I said, well, they've just invaded Afghanistan. I don't think we're too soft for nothing. We've just invaded Iraq for nothing. Yeah. That's different. Oh, that's different, is it?
Yeah.
So they're different people.
But looking at that map as well, Faye, if you look, we were always talking, why are they not? I mean, they tried to bother Africa with the jibby jabs, didn't they? But they didn't really push it there. There was no draconianness I didn't see there, were there really?
No, none. They just topped them African leaders.
Top the leaders, yeah. Just to make sure I got their own. But they didn't, but then maybe they just didn't need to.
But if you look at the ones in blue, the ones in blue, by the way, you can't see this, but the ones in blue are the higher anybody over 82 years. Or 80 years of age.
England's in that in that group.
That's the longevity, life expectancy. Yeah, England's in that over 80s. I think it's over 78 actually. And Australia are in there. They're over 82. Canada's in there. Scandinavia, although obviously Sweden didn't lock anybody down, but maybe they've got a different plan. You know, all of Europe. But Africa, most of them are way down. 59 years in Namibia. Mali, 58.
Well, that low, I would hazard a guess as well, that low life expectancy is down to us.
Well, I would, because, I mean, in these countries, by now, I mean, I know...
They have
a lot of kids, don't they? But, yeah, right. I don't buy that one either. But their replacement rates huge in Nigeria. It's
there is also
like five or something.
There is also the possibility that this map's bollocks.
There is. I don't think it is though, personally.
No, I don't.
I think they're showing us that life expectancy and is fantastic. I mean, this was done in 2021. Mm. So, yeah. What about that other story? Here we go.
Yeah, that was what I was trying to say about that. I saw he did one on Our Live, right? Because I was just reading this article in Daily Mail, and he was just quite vicious attacking this paper that someone released by the BMC Infectious Diseases. Now, their thing, and I downloaded their paper, if you like, and it was a bit, a lot of percentages and stuff and fractions, and all kinds of crap. And you could tell, you know, it had been analysed, but the reason it was done, I think, I'm pretty sure I read it right, it was to... see why people would be hesitant and why people would take up the jibby jabs.
Right.
And it was basically saying that people who'd had someone have COVID in the family were more likely to have it.
Right.
People who knew people who had damage from the jibby jab were less likely to have another one, which is pretty commonsensical, I suppose.
Yeah.
But when he'd done the report, the guy came to the conclusion that they did a survey of 2,840 people. He came to the conclusion that he's killed about 300,000 people in America.
So from his figures that
he was analyzing the whole system. But then they said they're only, I think it was only a handful of them were actually real, even though it was from the VAERS and all this lot and his questionnaire. So, but the only reason I looked at it was because the Daily Mail did like such an attack on it.
Yeah.
And even it's got Jordan Peterson there for some reason.
Yeah, because they're ridiculing the article, aren't they? So
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Jordan Peterson now is being ridiculed.
He tweeted it, basically.
Right, right.
But it's funny how they say his name, the like of Jordan Peterson, a Canadian psychologist who has shared discredited views online. So just
Jordan Peterson's another one of those limited hangouts, in my opinion.
I don't know what it is with them fighters, to be fair.
Well, he sounds educated and he drags people in and
he talks well.
It's fantastic, you know, and I like a lot of what he says again, but he had two or three taps, so I mean, how intelligent is he? But like Elon Musk, I haven't divot jabs, then he writes in on a tweet, well, after the first two I were all right, my arm hurt a bit. But after the third one, it floored me. And after the fourth one, I mean, how many do you need to have, Elon? I thought you were meant to be clever.
Yeah. Never heard him say clever.
But, I mean, did he actually have them? I don't know. Is he just saying that? Who knows? But, I mean, 300,000 people. I mean, how many does it say on VAERS that have died? Does it match them figures? Or
I think it said nine or something, didn't it?
What?
People.
They've
proved that the actual real statistic of deaths is nine. I'm pretty sure I read that in there without rereading it again.
What, the Daily Mail?
Yeah.
No, I'm on about VAERS. What did the VAERS numbers say?
Oh, I don't know.
That have died. All right.
This is a funny
look
bit.
At theirs now. I used to look at it before all this started because I were interested in researching.
They stopped moving though, didn't they? They stopped moving as well. But there's a picture of a woman hobbling out of her kitchen here or a bathroom, and she's got the shakes. It's only a picture, and it says experts have cast doubts over the authenticity of a series of videos that claim to show patients violently shaking after a reaction to the COVID vaccination.
Yeah.
In one of the more shocking clips, a female patient struggles to walk from the bathroom to her hospital bed while experiencing tremors. But then it says, what's the truth about the vaccine tremors? Viral videos of people violently shaking are shot down by experts who say they could be staged or a result of emotional distress.
Isn't it strange how this propaganda, right? They can talk about people who are injured, regardless of how they're injured, that's all right. But if you talk about somebody who's died of COVID, then you're an anti-vaxxer.
He came to the conclusion, Fatty, in that report that it was as high as 278,000.
Right.
So he says between 200, because he's obviously, you know, like quite specific with the numbers, between 217 to 332,600.
Right.
In America.
I see the film, the study, the funding for the survey was provided by Catherine Austin Fitz. The woman of the same name, the former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President George Bush, who recorded a lengthy interview as part of the 2021 documentary film Planet Lockdown. Yeah, the 90-minute video made a number of unsubstantiated claims about Divac vaccine program and the cause of the pandemic. Well, the cause of the pandemic were the governments. The secret cabal controlling the governments.
And if you go down there, this is funny as well. Just because this is why I looked further into this, because the article itself is just so like blatantly.
Yeah.
And it's got a graph halfway down, right? Like massive writing if you see it. And it says, how many lives were saved by the COVID jabs? You show with a question mark. Then you've got those two big red blocks.
Yeah.
Higher upper middle class country, income countries, 12.2 million. Right. 7.5 in the rest of the lower income countries.
What about Sweden?
It's just got that load just stuck there. Like it's a graph. Like we always say, I've got a graph.
You've got a graph.
Someone goes to trouble of making these graphs because apparently graphs, I'm sure they've researched that, makes it more believable if you've got a graph or a pie chart or whatever.
Yeah.
But
this guy said, Professor Skidmore said, the total number of fatalities due to the Divac vaccines may be as high as 278,000. That's in the US.
Yeah, you know, it says it can go higher. Yeah. That's an average, I think. But then this article goes to great lengths just to shoot it down. Because you obviously know, like you said earlier, that piece is going to come out to fools like us are going to get hold of it and start talking about it. So they've
exactly,
to,
yes.
They've had to do a hit job. It's not like we'd read this, but someone would read this and then their mate at work would say, yeah, but have you seen that paper that came out about 300 by a professor in America? Yeah, no, I read about it in Daily Mail. It's bollocks.
I mean, they talk about the VAERS and the yellow card, and I know everybody knows this. So I'm not saying anything new, but again, it's one of those systems that's set up to fail. So the only government reporting system to see how safe something that's not been tested properly is a system that they will disown as soon as there's somebody on it that says I've been injured.
Yeah.
What a beautiful plan. If you want to hurt and harm, even that part of the plan alone should tell you that the whole thing were a scam.
Well, like I mentioned before, I heard it on Radio 2, the fact checkers were discrediting the yellow card system.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been big news this week. A diet pill's killed 33 people, and they've pulled it.
Really?
Really? So again, have they? Haven't they? I don't know what's happened. However, that makes it look like, well, controls are in place to protect people from these pills that could kill. So that means the Divac jab is fine because we've let that roll out.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that.
We're still pushing it. So if there were a problem, we'd have definitely stopped it. Like we've just done that.
Those poor people who have had their legs cut off, got epileptic fits for the rest of their life, are disabled or are dead.
I've heard that interview with that guy who's had his legs cut off. Are you telling me that's in his head? Unbelievable. It's disgusting, fact.
These people writing these things, right? These aren't journalists. No. Just like that woman that did that 8-piece on Richard D. Hall. These aren't journalists. These have got teams of people they can just call on. BBC, they do a hit piece. Right, we've got teams of people we can call on just to do a hit piece. Hundreds of thousands, millions of pounds just to do a hit piece on someone. This type of story, they're pumping this shit out every day. Who wrote this? Written by John Eli Sr., health reporter, and Emily Stern, health reporter for Mail Online. So she's a health reporter. You know,
get this as well,
who are they? Who are they?
Get this in comments underneath. Am I missing something? What is the motivation for anti-vaxxers to promote lies and potentially cause people to die? Yeah. Do you get some kind of kick out of it? Do you bizarrely think it makes you look smart? Someone in Australia. Is that real, do you think?
I don't know if any of this is real, Chris, anymore.
I don't even know if this fucking general sounds real.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you can't, again, if you can't see that there are so many pies in the face with what's gone on over the last 3 years.
Bombardment, isn't it? It's a bombardment now, saturation. Yeah.
You'd have to be brain dead not to see what's going on. They're just, again, you can lead them to the concentration camp. The last bit Wi-Fi passcode.
Thank you, lads.
Yeah, cheers for that, lads. I like that one. You know, they're talking of excess deaths here again. You know, nobody ever talks about these excess deaths as being an effect of the Jabberwocky. Anyway, let's move on. Mm-hmm. What was this one you sent me here? That was the same one.
Yeah, that's the actual document. That is fair.
Yeah. So, just going on from that place in Wales, this were an interesting story. BBC again. Everyone to live 15 minutes from green space or water in England under plans.
So,
I mean, that headline there, that doesn't even make sense. Whoever's written that has written that like a child. Everyone to live 15 minutes from green space or water in England under plans. Doesn't make sense.
I noticed, you know, in fact, now you mentioned that, I noticed in that article, I think it was that one, or an article I was reading in Daily Mail online, and the question marks were upside, some of them were upside down.
I know.
How are you going to get spelling mistakes and stuff?
I read some of these and I think, are these actually journalists? Because when you used to read journalists writing, they could actually write.
Yeah.
They made it sound like a story. They had a way of describing things or what have you.
Would, and I don't want to sound like one of them, but would you be surprised if AI were doing it? Because...
No.
If they can paint pictures now and come up with poems and stories,
yeah.
Would it be surprised if you wrote that heading that it could just come up with it? I don't know. I'd never really go down the AI road because I don't know enough about it.
No.
Would you be surprised though?
No, you wouldn't be surprised, would you? Because, I mean, I look at some of these here now and I think, well, one, if you're human and you're writing stuff like that and you've been to a university to write that, then...
You should be sacked.
Yeah, you should be
sacked. I haven't even got a full stop in it.
No, I haven't got a full stop. It doesn't make sense. Everyone to live 15 minutes from green space or water in England under plans.
And a random picture of a squirrel. That could be AI, couldn't it?
That could be AI. The government has set legally binding targets for reversing the decline of wildlife. So now they're targeting the decline or stopping the decline of wildlife. That's what it's saying. A legally binding target. So what does this target entail? Less people there, so more squirrels. Because every time I look at my window here, I see a squirrel. Yeah. Like you say, 1 minute there's too many squirrels.
Yeah.
What they're saying is that everyone will live 15 minutes walk away from a green space. Again, it's just one of those 50. It's the 15-minute city, isn't it?
But didn't that's Victorians come up with that to have garden city gardens? Hadn't that already been done?
It's already been done.
Everyone's at 15 minutes walk.
When they were building Tuck Mills, and they had all them workers in there, didn't they say that you've got to allow 10 minutes to walk around prison garden? It is like that, isn't it? This is where this is going. You know. They've always got a target or a war, haven't they? War on this, war on that, target for this, target for that. And none of them are ever achieved and nothing's, apart from, unless it's trannies. You know, you see that video that I put on about that tranny? Teaching them kids?
Yeah, yeah.
How many times do you want to put your fist to the screen?
Yeah, it was a bit red-face inducing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. More than that. But yeah, so beware now. So I think this is a pushback from the 15-minute city. So all them people have kicked off in Oxford, and this is what they're coming up with. Everyone should live 15 minutes away from a green space.
So it sounds nice.
A green space might be a green wall, by the way. Or a green screen.
CGI countryside.
CGI countryside, yeah. AI countryside. It's a mad
shit show.
Shit show, it is. I just want to read this thing. I was talking to Master Lee last week, wasn't it? Last Wednesday when he did a bit of a Zoom call. And it's something by Rudolf Steiner who reminded me about it. There's a Steiner school near here, actually, where I live, in Tomberden.
How do you get into a Steiner school?
I think you just apply.
Right, I'm looking at someone around here.
Yeah, anyway. So more than 100 years ago, Rudolf Steiner wrote the following. In the future, we will eliminate the soul with medicine under the pretext of a healthy point of view. There will be a vaccine by which the human body will be treated as soon as possible directly at birth, so that the human being cannot develop the thought of the existence of soul and spirit. To materialistic doctors will be entrusted the task of removing the soul of humanity. As today, people are vaccinated against this disease or that disease, so in future, children will be vaccinated with a substance that can be produced precisely in such a way that people, thanks to this vaccination, will be immune to being subjected to the madness of spiritual life. He will be extremely smart, but he would not develop a conscience. And that is the true goal of some materialistic circles. With such a vaccine, you can easily make the etheric body loose in the physical body. Once etheric body is detached, the relationship between the universe and the etheric body would become extremely unstable, and man would become an automaton, for the physical body of a man must be polished on this earth by spiritual will. So the vaccine becomes a kind of amenic force man can no longer get rid of, a given materialistic feeling. He becomes materialistic of constitution, and can no longer rise to the spiritual. So what he's basically saying there...
Fucking bong.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're not there already, we're already there without the... When we've got the full-on jibber-jabbers for kids. And I would say that the smartphone owns a big part of that, because he's saying that people will be intelligent, but they'll be devoid of any feeling. And I think that's what the technology is doing to people, the smartphone's doing to people.
Yeah.
You know, because you can be smart, because you can learn everything's at your fingertips.
It's a smartphone.
Imagine when it's planted in your head. So it'll all be at your fingertips. You'll be really smart, but you'll be devoid of any spirituality, because it's not... And I don't know, I do find more and more... And maybe it's because we talk about this, and I talk about it with my missus and with my son. But I do find that no one talks about it anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No one even asks, you know, just those big questions that you ask when you're a kid. What's the meaning of life? You know, where are we going? What's happening?
Yeah.
I think in my lifetime, and I'm touching 50, it's been asked less and less by people. No one's discussing it anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it me? Is that just
no,
me?
No, or? No. You know, I just think
all the most important things that you can ask of this planet and no one's interested in it anymore.
No. I mean, I'm sorry for anybody who's religious, but the spirit isn't about religion.
Yeah, but even religion is fascinating.
I'm not saying it's not fascinating, but the
step in the direction.
I think it's another screensaver over top of your real spirit.
Well,
you know, that's my view.
I mean, I don't know. I won't pretend I know, but at least if you're of a religious mind, at least you're thinking about it.
Well,
you know,
whatever religion is,
yeah,
someone owns the truth of religion.
Mm.
The construct of man or whatever it might be. Yeah, I'm going to say man, humans. So someone, let's just say in the Vatican vaults, there's someone who knows the truth, right? And whatever the Bible is part of the truth, not the truth.
If it's that old, it's been tampered with by humans, hasn't it? Everything else.
Yeah. So it were actually Carol Vorderman, not Davinny McCall, that were calling him out.
Same thing,
really. Yeah. And she was calling out that he could. He had shares in Moderna and stuff like that, which, I mean, this isn't news to everybody listening, but yeah.
Again, limited. Hang on. Why are they revealing that at all?
A couple of comments here. Apart from that one, these are from YouTube, actually. There are another footballer, Northampton footballer, I think it's Northampton Town footballer, 20-year-old Luke Abrahams died after sudden illness from bacterial infection despite having leg amputated to try to save him from blood clots. The Sun says heartfelt tributes are flooded in for an amateur footballer who died that week. I mean, it's just awful. 20-year-old. It's just awful, man. And then you've got knobheads that are reporting in Daily Mail saying they're making it up. How dare you warn people? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah.
So he got his leg amputated and then
passed away. Yeah.
Oh my God, 20 years old.
Yeah.
Who's ever heard of that horror show?
Even if it happened every now and again, which
I've never heard of that one.
It's happening all the time now.
But that one's more extreme, I think.
Yes.
20-year-old, amputation, then dead.
Yeah.
Poor fuck.
I'm presuming it's a guy because it's Daddy Mulk, right? Walker Reading Football Club now have climate stripes or global climate stripes on their football shirt sleeves so they can reach a new target audience with the climate bollocks.
What does it say on the sleeve?
The football commentator talked about what the stripes mean through the match. So actually because my young'uns wants to watch football. I actually watch a football game, Man United, with him. I used to watch Man United, as you know.
You always used to watch football.
I know, I always used to watch it. I don't now, but...
There's no wrong with watching it, though, there's not wrong with watching it.
Yeah, look, but I don't watch it. So I watch it because me woman wants to watch it. So I'm no problem with that. I'm not going to stop him watching football. I watched it, but... anyway, Man U were playing Reading. Mm. And halfway through the game, the commentator said, and you'll notice the stripes on Reading's shirt. So they had little stripes, and it's been designed in conjunction with a climate scientist from Reading University called such and such, forget what the name. And each of the stripes is a year from 18 summer or other since records began, 1854, 666, since records began or wherever. So they change colour as they go down the arm till they get to the cuff and it's red.
Okay, now. But I mean, kids are watching that, so they're going to ask the question, what's that about?
Yeah. And I said to my human, and that's why I don't watch this shite.
Yeah. Well, it's been hijacked, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm not saying football were perfect then when I watched it, but they never talked about shite like that.
They shouldn't get involved.
No.
They shouldn't be politicised.
No.
Even I've said this over the years, and I'm not a footballer.
When I used to go to games in the 80s, it used to feel uncomfortable when they were doing chimp chants and stuff like that. Yeah. All the spook there in ground or next to
Huddersfield.
Huddersfield. stood there, they're all good. To their own players.
Yeah, because they're so intelligent.
Oh, yeah,
Never met a smart racist. Anyway, even football, from my point of view, I've never watched football. The last game I watched for it was that one where Maradona handed the ball in, which was considered quite a high-octane, interesting game. And I remember I was a kid and I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it has been hijacked because it used to be working men could take the kids to it and now it's out overpriced.
Yeah.
It's been priced out.
Yeah. Do you want to read this about that lady who sent in that... the one that she sent in about Mimosa Padika.
Ah, yeah. I was telling my missus about that. She wants to... hey, guys, want to say... this is from... Shall I say which one?
Say that in a manly voice, will you?
Hey, guys. Hey, I can't see because you're blockhead in the corner.
All right.
I just wanted to say a massive thank you for your podcast and research. Dom, I can't thank you enough as I've been using
Mimosa Padika.
Yeah. Mimosa Padika, and almost a litre of parasites have come out of me since November 2022. Bit concerned as to where they are. She knows there's a litre. As a child...
A little bottle.
Right. As a child, I knew instinctively something was eating my food intake. And I can't read that. I was left with the residue to absorb. I could feel them crawling inside me. I lost 7 pounds, 7 pounds in 2 weeks. I only weigh 48 kilos, and that was a very thin child adult. At 54, I am feeling so much better, enjoying eating. My sorrow is I wish my mum was alive to see me finally enjoy eating. Mum died 9 years ago. I also use Global Healing liver, stroke, gallbladder cleansers, and these release thousands of stones. Please keep talking about parasite cleansing, as this is the key to healing. Coffee enemas and colonics also help clear nests. Stay focused. This world needs you. What's her name, Fai? Can't see the bottom.
Karen.
Love and light, Karen.
Little Kazza. Little Kazza. Hello, little Kazza.
That's a lovely thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's nice to see that some people are trying it out. She's obviously trying it out, doing one some of these parasite cleansers. Go on, what?
No, we're going to say, a fellow who follows as well, he shouted out a yippee because we mentioned apple cider vinegar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't get protective over stuff. Just because I do it, don't mean to say that it works for everybody. I've learned that lesson. But one thing I've learned is that most of us carry parasites around. Sometimes we get told by the science experts, trust the science, that these things are symbiotic, which raised a red flag to me and alarm bells going off, because I'm thinking, well, a parasite is something, as we've spoke about, is something that takes nutrients off its host. That doesn't sound right symbiotic to me. And also, it's one illness that they never tell you about if you go to doctors.
Worm
cats and dogs.
I read this out to my missus last night. This is one from Karen. And she was like, what? Where have I got them? I said, I don't know. A lot of people have. So she then said she wants me to get some of that, some more of that mimosa.
Well, I had a lady, and I'm not going to mention her name. Here we go. Hi, Dom. I bought some Mimosa Pudica, so it's a similar sort of email. Can you please tell me how much to take? So this is going back to sometime in January, 22nd of January, right? So she then got back to me and told me that she's now seen parasites coming out of her within, so what date we're now, 31st. So within days of doing this, she's seen parasites coming out of her.
Right.
Where are we? Here we go. I don't, sorry, me again. I passed today what looked like a parasite around 12 inches long. So that was 4 days after starting them.
Have you ever experienced this? Yeah, you did, because you sent me photos of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. But what I'm trying to say is that most people that take this stuff, Mimosa Pudica, have that same experience. A lot of them, I mean, we're just going back to, as she mentioned here, parasite cleansing, coffee enemas. I've never done coffee enemas. I didn't feel like I needed to. Yeah, I know you have, but I've done enemas because I've done colonics and I've done ozone. I do ozone every night. So we're just in the clinic. One of the nurses has just been trained to do colonics. So what we're about to do in the clinic, in the next 2 weeks anyway, we're just getting ready to open the colonics area up. Is you better do 2 week, a week's worth of cleansing with what are called 21st century herbs, which gets rid of all the residue from your intestines, clears out the all the glutinous mass that everybody carries around with them if they've been eating crap for 10, 15, 20 years.
Well, even if you haven't, fight, I mean, you're all everyone's gonna have that, aren't they?
Everyone's gonna have it, right? So you take that for at least a week prior. Along with Mimosa Pudica.
Right.
And then when you do the colonics, we'll actually film these parasites coming out. You'll see them swimming down the tube.
Right. You're going to film
them? I'm that confident. Yeah. We'll film them. Yeah.
Oh, wicked. Wicked.
Also, regards the gallbladder Epsom salt cleansers that this lady spoke about in this email, or this message she sent us, Hulda Clark, I don't think it were her who devised it, but she came up with one, and I followed one from this herbalist who was, ironically, when I became ill in 2008, well, no, 2006, but I got sick at NHS, and I went to this, I didn't know to go natural, because I didn't understand that there were a natural, but my wife put me in touch with somebody, or give me some details of a lady in Huddersfield, or a guy in Huddersfield. But then I got some other details from somebody of a guy who was from Newcastle, but he had a clinic in Knaresborough, and I went to see him. And some of these products that I've used, fantastic products. He's a herbalist, and he's an iriologist. An iriologist is somebody who can look in your eyes and tell you certain things about your health. And he said to me, on meeting me, he looked in my eyes and said, I love you. No, I didn't. He looked at me and said, he said, you've had an hernia operation, a belly button hernia operation. And I thought,
wow.
Yeah, wow. Well, he knew my name and my mobile. Didn't know any details about me. Mm. And so I thought, I'm listening to this bloke. Anyway, he told me to do a gallbladder cleanse, a liver cleanse.
Right. You know?
And the liver cleanse was, if I remember it rightly now, I'll have to go back through my notes, but first week, you take this 21st century detox herbs, which are rhubarb complex. And you take them, take one for first day, two for second day, and then you take three until you go to the toilet three times. And that is like a flock of racing pigeons coming out of you. Right?
I tried the rhubarb one. It didn't really do it to me, far.
Yeah, maybe you're just doing it wrong. Mm. I'm not saying you did it wrong. I'm just saying maybe. Anyway, so on the so as soon as you go to the toilet three times, you go back down to two. Right, so you do take two capsules in the second week. Then you start doing slightly different things until you get to Friday, and you've been drinking. I think I was drinking a liter of apple juice a day because that opens up the capillaries in your liver, and on the last day, on the Friday, you couldn't have out to eat after 12 o'clock. Which killed me. But you couldn't, in fairness, with the stuff you took, you didn't want out to eat anyway. You didn't feel hungry. So you had Epsom salts in ice cold water with grapefruit juice and all sorts, you know, natural grapefruit juice and things like that. Anyway, the day after, you wake up, and I thought, well, nothing's happening. You know, no rumblings in my guts or like that. I didn't feel out really going down. Then all of a sudden, it was about lunchtime, but yeah, it happened. And he said to me, basically, crap in a sieve. Put a sieve down toilet, snap handle off, and do that. So me and my wife had done it. Me and Nick had done it. And flush toilet, and there were literally hundreds of, like, little marbles.
From your liver?
All from liver and gallstone. Hundreds of them. Yeah. Like little green marbles. They were acidic marbles, or acidic stones. Literally hundreds of them. Like somebody had emptied a bag of peas.
Right, fucking hell. That's what this lady's talking about.
Yeah, that size as well, like a bag of pea size.
Because when you think of a liver, it's like a sponge texture.
Yeah.
Those little holes in it, the filters basically, aren't they? They get clogged up with
that toxic residue. Also, they get clogged up with, obviously, parasites live there.
Stuff out of water.
Yeah. Yeah, parasites live there because, I mean, what's more nutritious than your liver?
And that's why when you see skinny blokes with pot bellies and they say it's a pot belly or a beer belly, whatever, that's probably the liver, isn't it?
Well, probably, or their intestines. And I mean, I got rid of, I mean, I've said this before, I mean, we're going in a sec, but I got rid of literally thousands of liver flukes. And if anybody wants to look up liver flukes, the three different colours, the white and also blood flukes. So you've got red ones that look, the bright red, you can see difference, and black ones, I think are mainly, they're mainly where I had the black ones. I did have white ones. I did have red ones.
Because I told you I don't know what it even was, but they looked organic, and you said liver flukes, and I Googled it was.
They're like a spear shape.
Look like a guitar puck.
Yeah. They're like
a tiny little guitar puck.
Yeah. They're like the spear shape type, parasites.
But something I was doing killed them. I can't remember what I was doing at the time.
You were doing mimosa.
Was it mimosa? I think it was, wasn't it? No, I tried all kinds of shit. But at the minute, I've got you can buy a colonic irrigation system for like a tenner. as well.
You've got to be careful because, anyway, just be careful with what you're buying. I don't know what these things are like. I know people have cocked themselves up doing coffee enemas too much and stuff like that. I'm not saying you need to go to someone who's doing colonics, but if you do a course of colonics, they're not generally that expensive, but if you do a course of colonics, you know, I'd say that's more beneficial. But not only that, we'll better put ozone in there as well then.
I'm going to say it's the stuff you put in it as well, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll do the colonic and then put ozone into the colon, which directly goes into the liver as well.
Right.
I forget the vein now, but it's a portal vein. It's the vein that's attached to the intestine and then directly goes into the liver.
That's what you do with a coffee one, which you have to lay on your right hand side.
Yeah.
It taps into that vein, doesn't it?
Yeah. Interesting stuff. But it's good to see that people are getting some benefits from certain things.
That fella, I've forgotten his name and I've lost his email there. I can't find it. But he's the fella who dropped me a bottle of wine and he sent you the DVD of, the audio CD of Pawns in the Game.
Right.
And he said he has 50 bottles of apple cider vinegar in stock just in case it goes off the shelves.
I can't eat apple cider vinegar. I've got some sort of allergy to it.
Well, I have apple cider vinegar with lemon juice in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to cleanse your liver, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I can't eat it.
Yeah.
So I can't have it. So you've always got to think of something else because, again, I realised pretty early on that...
It's not all about you, though, don't you know?
No, it's not about me. But let's just say if you've got an allergy to something, all it's going to do is add more pressure to you.
No, but also as well, all these things, you've tried loads of stuff and I've tried some stuff. It's different strokes for different folks, isn't it? Things
always. Yeah.
You know, you've got to use a bit of instinct. This is another thing that's been eradicated from us and humanity is instinct.
Well, there's instinct, but also has instinct's been defunct now, hasn't it? It's been altered.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's gone. Yeah. It's been melted. Yeah. It doesn't work anymore. But do you remember when we spoke to Clive DeCarl? He said, you know, you feel like, and I get this. He says, you feel like taking some iodine or you feel like this and you think, I need some vitamin C or I need that. You know, you need to just... I don't know. Let your mind open up a little bit and think about what it's feeling that you need.
Yeah,
you know, you might not always get it right, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention this guy's name. He'll know who he is. Hi, Dom and Chris, can you give statins a mention in the next podcast? Well, we spoke quite heavily about statins in the last podcast that I went into a lot of the manufacturers.
He got back to us actually, fire. So I emailed him back, and he got back. He said, "Sorry, I was just really angry." Bless him, because
There's a real agenda going on with these drugs, no shit. There is. Yeah. But there has been for a long time, but they're going even further now. Again, it's another excuse because of the injuries. My partner went to a new doctor, which is a new doctor, young and handsome, last week, complaining about chest tightness while playing tennis. The doctor gave a blood pressure test and said it was high and that he's going to prescribe her statins. She's a bit naive and asked how long she'd be on them. He said he wished she hadn't asked that because it would be for life. So these attachments again, spirit draining, lifetime attachments, if you like. Since then, she's bought her own blood pressure machine and every time she uses it, she gets healthy reading. She's read up on statins and thankfully have decided that they're dangerous. I'd love for you to mention them about the later. I mean, we did mention quite a lot.
Just another bit of proof for
it. It is.
We were saying they were mentioning statins. They did every classic thing, didn't they? There's a shortage. Yeah. Not enough people are having them, and now we need to give out 15 million. And now she's done a little research on it and realised that they're not very good for you. And this guy wanted her to take them for life. I mean, a prescription for life.
I've known people that lost it on them things.
But he even said, I wish you'd never asked me that. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I know.
And now I've lost my lifetime prescription bonus.
Yeah.
what is the side effects of statins then? Because I've never heard of them.
Off the top of my head. But I mean, the thing is, it lowers your cholesterol, right? Which it does do, right? So does red rice wine. Yeah, I think it's that. But anyway. So does changing your diet and going on a good fat diet lowers your cholesterol as well.
Do you need to lower your cholesterol though?
Well, it depends. If you're eating Kentucky's and eating that horrible engine oil that they're frying, then you need to reduce that shite. Yeah.
Reduce a lot of things.
Yeah. You need to reduce that shite. But the problem is it reduces all your cholesterol. And I mentioned in that podcast that your brain's surrounded by cholesterol. So that's one area. Brain's surrounded by cholesterol. It's like saying, I've got fatty liver. Now, that's not good fatty liver. That's toxic shit liver. Yeah. And so it's going to take it from the next available source when these statins drain all the cholesterol away. And one of the next available sources is your brain. So what's that going to do?
Like when you lose too much weight and it starts eating away your muscles.
Well, no, yes.
No, I mean, it's a similar thing, isn't it?
But if your brain's surrounded by good cholesterol, it's there for a reason. Yeah. It was just to protect your brain or help it function. If you start reducing it, people are going to get dementia, Parkinson's, mental problems, etc.
Which is interesting because there was a massive push for reducing your cholesterol. How long has that gone on for? The last 10, 20 years?
And the rest probably. Since the 70s, but certainly since the 80s.
There was a big push
when they started pushing engine oil to eat as opposed to decent food.
And in our lifetime, stopping using proper fat in fryers and using vegetable oil.
Yes.
Now it goes black.
But in some future shows, I've been speaking with, we're going to be working at the clinic with a nutritionist. We've got a nutritionist on board. She's fully on side with all the stuff we talk about as well. So I only want to speak with people and deal with people who I don't have to have the same old conversations with. It's pointless otherwise. We've also got two GPs that have approached us who are functional doctors as well, which are natural. They come at it from a naturopathic point of view. And so they want to come on a podcast as well. So that'll be interesting because one of the areas they specialize in is female hormones. Which that'd be a good enlightening podcast for us as blokes with women who are going into that sort of age group.
Maybe we have
to put up with a few loose comments that we wouldn't have had to deal with before, or be called a few choice names that we think, where did that come from? But that'd be interesting. I think I'd like some regular guests on the health side of things because, you know, especially people who know what they're talking about. And I know one of the doctors goes to the stand in the parks and stuff like that. She's all over it. And these are GPs. They're not just naturopaths, you know? So that'll be interesting. In fact, tonight, it's Tuesday night, tonight, 31st, she was going to come on as a nutritionist, but she wants to book in to go for a treatment. And I said, don't come on tonight. Come on after you've been to the clinic and had a treatment so you can we can talk about your treatment as well. Because I'd like to get her views on the treatment for her. I think she'll be first and then the doctors will come on at some other point. But yeah, I think just gives us a different angle to what we're doing. Again, like that email there, just one bit of information that you can share with people. That's how I learned. People shared things for free. You know, I was listening to Thomas Levy about vitamin C going back into 2000s or Robert Rowan talk about ozone. And that's how I learned about ozone. Frank Schallenberger talking about ozone. Loads of other doctors and stuff like that. Even Dr. McCullough having interviews of people. And I listened to these people over and over again till it sunk in, bought the books and read them over and over again, and then tested it out on myself, you know. And so one bit of information like that lady there who's been struggling with parasites probably all her life.
Well, 54, she said, didn't she? So.
Yeah.
And I know those people. You know those people who never put weight on?
Yeah.
And I was saying to you, actually, how interesting is this? And it was something that dawned on when I read her email. I've mentioned these guys before, two of my mates who I worked in a kitchen with, in a restaurant. I'd never witnessed before. Two of them had Tourette's, not the sweary Tourette's. They just had tics and, it creates emotional problems as well, obviously. But they were both skinny as rakes.
Right.
And my one friend, he could never put weight on. He were always trying to put weight on. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, Fatty? Is that I'm not saying it's the same as autism, but is it that same gut brain link thing.
Well, these,
because there's never been any research on this, you never know, do
I? I'm sure there's loads of research on parasites.
In fact, I'm on about that specific thing I'm on about.
Well, I'm sure there's loads of research on that, that it affects your brain. I mean, they already know toxoplasmas can make you go nuts. No, you know,
I'm saying there is, because that's what Andrew Wakefield were on about, that autism was linked to the gut. What I'm saying is could it be possible that, so you got these two really skinny guys who can't put weight on, and they both got Tourette's. Is that linked to the gut?
But, well,
is it a parasite? I mean, it's interesting.
One thing they've learned is it's linked to everything. Mm. I know that's a bit of an open-ended scenario, but sometimes you haven't a clue what the treat. It's like I've been going and taking high dose vitamin C. Didn't know what we're going to do. Right? I've only done loads of ozone. I've done bits of vitamin C IVs, but I thought I'm going to stop doing ozone IVs and I'm going to do big doses of vitamin C. So I've been having 20 grams at a time. Yeah, I'm going to have 25 this week. Now, in the scheme of things, it's not massive doses. Some people, when they're seriously ill, are having 75 grams. Right. But I've noticed my respiratory problems have improved. And he's talking in space of 2 or 3 weeks here. These are problems I've had for 30, 40 years. I've noticed I'm not as, my nose isn't as bunged up or tickly when I wake up in the morning.
Mm.
You know, I used to have massive doses of oral vitamin C before, to stop it. Now I don't need it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's interesting. Okay, then we'll finish this part one here. We'll start part two on Thursday, I reckon, if we get a chance. Although we're going to start the Huxley stuff as well. So we're going to have to try and make time for that, because I think that's going to go on and on. Because every time I have a conversation with Chris about it, it seems to add another 20 minutes to it. But anyway, so
it'll be.
We will talk. We'll be back next time. If you're not joining us in part two, if you are, we'll see you there. If not, take it easy. Bye.
Bye.